Hello, friends. Once again, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad that you've joined us today, and we pray once again that this broadcast will be a very special blessing to you. Praise God. Well, we're talking about a great subject today, and we want to thank every one of you that are return listeners right here on WMAF. We know this is a very unique station, and we see it as a very unique opportunity to be part of the broadcast family, and we pray that you feel just as grateful to have the opportunity to hear the great programming right here on WMAF. And if you would like to tell other people about this particular part of their format, this broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus, and other fine ministries of the Word of God right here on WMAF, good men of God that are sowing into your spiritual life, churches that are local right there in Madison, North Florida, I do encourage you. I've been a pastor here in Tampa for 40 years this coming January, and I know the importance from that standpoint in particular of coming to church and hearing and heeding the Word of God, getting your soul fed. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I believe God wants all His sheep fat and fluffy. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we just encourage you to get out Sunday morning, go to one of the churches that are near you that preach and teach the Word of God. Amen. And we're glad to be part of that great company that God has raised up that is publishing His Word. We're thankful to be on the radio today. We're thankful to be on the World Wide Web today. Praise God. Amen. And we're thankful for those of you that are taking time to do some of the most important things that you can possibly do with your time, and that is to take time to hear and to heed the Word of God. Amen. We have a great message today. It's entitled Sufficient in God's Sufficiency. This is the second part of this teaching, and we're beginning this teaching from Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Listen closely today. Amen. There's a portion of a song that says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." And it sounds like a contradiction, because if a weak person says, "I'm strong," are we not being truly honest? Are we not being biblically balanced? Are we saying things in the wrong way? Is that the wrong phraseology to use? If I know how weak I am, is it wrong to be confident and to be competent and to be bold in my testimony and my work for the Lord and my faith? Am I able to say I'm strong? Well, the Apostle Paul actually said, "When I am weak, then am I made strong." And when he confesses his weakness and becomes made strong, then it's perfectly biblically balanced and correct to say, "I am strong through the one who gives me the strength," and that's Jesus Christ. And that's why this scripture is so important to the balance we need in our life. You know, the Bible said when a man says, "Behold, I stand," he's the one before he comes to this place of humble dependence upon the Lord. Humble dependence upon the Lord is what makes you strong and bold in the Lord. And that is not a contradiction. And that's what we want to show you in the scriptures today. Amen. The Bible said in Philippians 4:11 through 13, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Ah, friend of mine, this is the balance. Paul was bold in his faith, bold in his testimony, confident in Christ's strength within him. Not in himself. He actually said, with all of the credentials he had spiritually, he said, "Not that we are sufficient as of anything is of ourselves, for our sufficiency is of the Lord." Amen. I like the Amplified of verse 13 here. It said, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ sufficiency." And last week we talked about how to obtain this strength. There are three supporting pillars that are essential to having the strength that he's talking about. And it doesn't begin with strength itself. It begins with that allows God to make us strong. It starts out with sufficient grace, and then supporting love, and then sustaining strength in that order. Today, last week, we talked about the sufficiency of God's grace. Today, we want to talk about the supporting love that is essential to being strong in the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Listen to this carefully. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Praise God. We have God's help, friends, because we have God's heart. We have His help because we have His heart. He doesn't just keep His promises to prove His integrity, but primarily because He loves us. I want to say that again. God doesn't just keep His promises to prove His integrity, but primarily because He loves us. Romans 8 and 32 bears this out. Verse 32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Love, not nails. This is not the scripture. This is after I've read the scripture. Love, not nails, held Jesus on that cross. Make no mistake about it. Those nails didn't hold Him to that cross. The Roman government, under Pilate, under Caesar, a supreme authority, but under Pilate's direct jurisdiction, that is not what caused Him to be put on or stay on the cross. It was love for you. It was love for me. Love held Him to that tree. Oh, friend of mine, the agony of the cross, it is one of the worst possible, imaginable, most horrendous and heinous ways to kill a person, is to torture them to death. Not only the pain of it, but the sustaining long-term asphyxiation, where a person is slowly but surely suffocating to death while enduring pain that is absolutely unimaginable. What held one who had the power to call 10,000 angels, 100,000 angels, myriads of angels, if he so choose? What compelled Him to stay on the cross until God's wrath was satisfied? His justifiable anger was burned up in Jesus, so that those that come to Christ might be saved, that we might have our sins forgiven. It said that God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up, allowed Him to go to that cross, to stay on that cross for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I want to say it again. Love, not nails. Love, not Rome. Love, not the Sanhedrin. Love caused Jesus to go to that cross, and love kept Him on that cross until He was able to cry, it is finished. If you doubt, if you have doubt in your heart today, please, please don't doubt God's love for you. Let the cross settle the issue of God's love once and for all. And once that occurs, that's one of those great supporting pillars that strengthen us to face our trials and tests, because when the devil can't get us to doubt God's love, God will be able to give us the sufficient grace, because we will trust Him for it, and He will not fail you, and He will not fail me. When we question His faithfulness, we essentially begin to tie the hands of God. But when we trust Him, we loose Him to provide everything that we need to sustain us, that we might be all sufficient in Christ. Sufficiency. Praise the Lord. Amen. 1 John, I want to read this. Chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." That word propitiation is a tremendous word. You don't hear it in these days hardly ever. But to propitiate means to appease one's anger. God, in His holiness, can't help but be angry. His wrath is upon everyone who doesn't trust Christ, who believes not, justifiably so. We've sinned against Him, and He has every right to bring judicial justice and bring that judicial accusation to us that we have sinned against Him, and we cannot deny it. And yet in His great love for us, He devised a plan to save us from our sin, from ourselves, and from Satan, our accuser. And that plan was to send His Son to go to the cross and suffer in our place. And when He did on that cross, God's wrath was appeased, and we could be reconciled unto Him. Jesus propitiated the wrath of God in our behalf so that we could enjoy the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't help but think, when some statements are made here in Scripture, "Oh, what a Savior," the song said. "Oh, hallelujah." It draws praise out of me. And because of this sufficient grace and this supporting love, then we have sustaining strength. That's what Paul was talking about. It's the three that allow this sustaining strength. And when it comes, it's described here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 34. It says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Praise God. Amen. Listen very carefully. It is so important to know that it was out of weakness that they were made strong. Because when we confess our weakness and we're honest in ourselves about our weakness, see, God doesn't come along just to help us along. He comes along to absolutely take the wheel. He comes along to not just give us His strength in conjunction with our strength, that together we have what we need to overcome. He comes, amen, when we confess we have no power or might. I like what the Bible said in the Old Testament in Jehoshaphat's dilemma, when there was such an army, a threefold army of three nations unified together for one purpose, and that was to destroy Israel. They came up against him as he was the king, and he made a confession. Listen real close to that. He made a confession in the Old Covenant. He said, "Lord," when he prayed, "we have no power and we have no might, See, we're told never to confess that. Listen carefully. It's important that we confess our weakness to qualify for His sufficient grace, His supporting love, and His sustaining strength. We have no power, no might to go out against this great army, but our eyes are on Thee. The moment those words left his mouth, there was confirmation. A prophet stood up in the congregation, and the prophet said, "Thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle, for the battle is no longer yours. The battle is the Lord's." Oh, man, I think of that. I think of that Alka-Seltzer commercial every time I read that. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, friend, I face things that I in myself am absolutely no match for. But when I know the battle is no longer mine because I'm not trusting in myself, I'm not trusting in others, I'm trusting in Him and Him alone. I'm trusting His grace. I'm not questioning His love, praise God. And I know His strength will come. I know His strength will come. I'm not confident in me, but I'm confident in Christ in me. You understand the balance here. God wants us to be bold, but not self-confident. Confident in ourselves because of His sustaining strength, but not confident in ourselves because of who we are, our energy, our ingenuity, our intelligence, whatever we are leaning on and looking to support us. We have to let it go and look to God and God alone. Praise God. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Our strength from God comes precisely at the point of our weakness. When we totally rely on the Lord, Paul prayed for the saints for an impartation of God's power within. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." This is what he prayed for, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, this is day by day. This is moment to moment that he sustains us with his strength. And it starts in our inward man. It doesn't begin in your emotions. It affects it, but it affects it from within. From your inward man is now beginning to affect your outward man. It starts in your spirit. That's why the Word of God is so important to you today. As it's sown as good seed into a good ground heart, good soil, it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. It works from the inside out by the Spirit of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 said, "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Day by day, moment to moment. That's how God sustains us. You know, we said it before, I'm going to go back and review, but when it said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me," in the 13th verse of Philippians 4, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." I'm going to read Matthew Henry's comment again. It said, "Christ, which strengtheneth me, denotes a present and continued act, not a one-time event, but a continual, day-to-day, moment-to-moment." Ah, that is exactly what the Bible is saying right here. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day, literally moment by moment as well. Praise God. To walk in victory, we must overcome two great foes, the weakness of our flesh and the accusing and deceiving power of our enemy, the devil. But we are sufficient. I'm going to say that again. There's victory in Jesus today. We are sufficient in His sufficiency. We are can-do Christians. I can do. That is not self-confidence. Paul knew the grace would be sufficient. Paul knew the love of God would not fail him, abandon him. Hallelujah, that Jesus kept his promises not just to prove his integrity, but because he loved him enough to die in his place on the cross. Amen. With our eyes set upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we can shout, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Only those who recognize their weakness and rely on Jesus can truly say this. I believe we ought to say it as a testimony. Amen. And say it loud. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. It simply means I am equal to whatever I have to face, because I know that sufficient grace will be available to me. And I know that supporting love is upholding me. And I know that God's strength will be placed in my inward man. You see, the great key here is getting what God grants in the inward man to work out into the outward part of the outward man. What is placed in our spirit to begin to show up in our mind, in our life, and affect our emotions and our thoughts suddenly are not filled with worry and fear and depression and despair, but faith and hope and love. Ah, what a difference it is. You know, it's possible to have great faith in our spirit and yet be in our mind, be absolutely discouraged and despondent. Paul wrote to Timothy, and here's what he said. It sounds like Timothy has lost his faith, and Paul let him know that he had the faith, but he had it somewhere that he needed to stir it up and get it active so it would work out into his life and into his mind. Timothy was greatly discouraged, almost to the point of despair. And Paul wrote him a letter, and that letter to Timothy, and he told him, he said, stir up the gift that is in thee by the laying on of hands. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that word stir up is one word in the actual Greek. It is a word that meant to stir up a fire, to rekindle a fire, to stir it, that the flames come up again, that threatens to go out because of neglect. And then he told him, I know you have faith, in that same letter. I know. Isn't it amazing? Here's a discouraged man. We think if we're discouraged, we don't have faith. No, if we're discouraged, we're just not using the faith we have. Because, friend, if you have faith, Jesus said, as a grain of mustard seed, and you use it, and it's directed to God and not anything of yourself, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the midst of the sea. If you doubt not in your heart that what you say shall come to pass, you will have whatsoever you sayeth. Not because you say it, just because you say it, but because God wills it. You've discovered His will, and you are boldly proclaiming, amen, that is in the way of God's will be removed. Hallelujah. The devil simply doesn't want us to come into that place of bold faith, but out of weakness, people are made strong. Wax what? Valiant in the fight. They wax bold in the battle. And the last thing he wants is a bold Christian, boldly proclaiming the truth of God, standing up and standing on the Word of God, and then standing up and saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And God will verify that. Hallelujah. Amen. And God's power is available to you, and God's power is available to me. But we need these great supporting pillars. What was in Timothy's inner man needed to be stirred up so it could come out and be manifest in his mind and in his speaking and in his faith needed to be put to work. Faith without works or corresponding actions is dead, being alone. Listen carefully. He said, Timothy, I know there's faith in you. I know there's faith in you. I know there is faith in you and there's fire in you. But you need to stir up that gift. You need to fan into flame a fire that threatens to go out because of simply neglecting it. You get discouraged in your mind, the faith that's in your heart. And it is in your heart. Faith comes. Make no mistake about it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. As long as you receive the Word into a good ground heart, faith is arising in your heart. But we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Oh, friend, it is so important. You've got the faith today to rise up, claim the promises of God, stand on the Word of God, lift the mighty shield of faith, and quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Out of weakness, through faith, they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and won the battle. They put the armies of the aliens to flight. Praise God. Amen. This was weak people that God raised up, not mighty people. Ah, friend, listen to me carefully. If you're weak today, if you tremble, if you're having all of these problems with believing and trusting God and worry and fear, you put your trust in Jesus and Him alone and look to Him and Him alone. You qualify for sufficient grace, supporting love, and sustaining strength. And God is going to bring you through. But before He lifts you out of that pit of despair, despondency, and discouragement, He's going to lift you up in your inward man. You're going to feel it down in your soul. Hallelujah. Something's going to change on the inside that causes things to begin to change on the outside. Praise God. Ah, friend, there's victory in Jesus today. You can come to Christ today if you don't know Him. You can come to Jesus, as many as received Him. He's not asking you to change yourself. He knows you can't do that. That's why He went to the cross in your behalf. Ah, friend, there's sufficient grace flowing from Calvary that you might pray today, and Christ will come into your life. Come just as you are, with a desire for God to change you. Surrender your will to Him. Repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your life today. He'll do the work. He does the heavy lifting. But you have to, as an act of your will and faith, invite Him into your life. And grace sufficient to save your soul will flow to you. And grace sufficient to sustain you. And love to support you. And strength to help you overcome. It'll all be yours today. If you decide this day to make Jesus Christ your Savior, your Lord and Savior, friend, I pray that you will come to Him before this broadcast is over, and that you will invite Him into your heart and into your life. In fact, I pray that you will pray with me right now, right where you are. Lord Jesus, I need the grace. I need the grace. The unmerited favor to flow from your cross to me. I need your arms around me. I need your strength and not mine today. I want to follow you, Jesus. I invite you into my heart, into my life. Come in. I repent of my sins. Save my soul. Support me with love and sustain me with strength that I may follow you all the days of my life. Today, if you're a Christian, your faith is wavering. The devil will tell you, you failed. God can't do anything for you. I want you to look back at God's Word and look up at Jesus on the cross. Grace is flowing to you right now to sustain you. Love is embracing you right now to support you. And God is granting the necessary strength to overcome. And out of weakness, you need to just go ahead and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. With your gaze set upon Jesus, dying on the cross, and rise up from the dust of defeat and declare victory in Jesus' name. Well, our time is gone. I pray you will come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.